T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my Wild Country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hera and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and Michigan, most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one to stop me.
On 1080.
I'm the best ever.
The Fan.
All right, Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland, our number 3 on this Monday. National Championship Day Monday. What is your excitement meter for the college football playoff championship game? What did you set the over-under at earlier? 4.5? 4.5?
I guess you'd put it at 5.
4.5? 4.5, 5?
My prediction at 7:30 when I mentioned it was... Yes. I guess I mentioned it around 7. Just after 7, 7:0, according to you. 6! It was probably around the 4.5 mark for 7:30. Now, what time's kickoff? 5:30?
5.
5. Will it ramp to an 8? Will it move up to an 8? ESPN's getting some kick-ass coverage because they're sitting out on Bourbon Street, and they have... Mm-hmm. I listened to Paul Feinbaum this morning in his...
Pow!
Well, he was dressed like a king. He had a cape, or I guess he would say... What do we call that? Not a cape.
Pimp.
No, what do the kings wear?
Shawl?
Shawl.
It's a cape.
Like sure. A robe or a cloak?
Cloak. It's kind of a cloak with a crown. A giant cloak with a crown. And he was sitting there saying that he hates Clemson. Well, at least he hates Clemson. So, yeah, I mean, it's New Orleans. I mean, beignets. There's no other. I'm telling you right now, there's no better place to host the college football championship game than New Orleans. Hands down, not close. Nowhere else can do it. Don't tell me L.A. Don't sell me Vegas. Nuh-uh, not going to happen.
I'll sell you on Vegas once that stadium's built. Bro.
No way. Doesn't have a tenth of the character that New Orleans has. The party people. Southern hospitality.
Party people!
There's no Southern hospitality in Vegas. Yeah. It's like, give me your money.
Well, yeah, of course it is. Well, let's go then. Let's go to New Orleans today.
Been there.
Come on.
You get on the flight. You get a private jet. Anybody got a private jet we could borrow real quick? Mm. Anybody got that?
How many people with private jets do you think get asked if they could borrow it real quick?
Mm. You'd be surprised.
Can I borrow that real quick?
If you got that kind of money and you have a private jet, do you really care?
Mm. No. All right, let's get to it. Let's whip around the NFL's postseason divisional round weekend of the National Football League. My man, Buck, give me a little music behind this. All right, let's get this thing started. Let's recap briefly the Seattle Seahawks. Man, I thought they had it. So did Russell Wilson.
5 minutes left getting the ball back. I thought this game was going to be over. Thought we were going to win it. I think everybody in the stadium, and I think everybody watching felt like that too. That's the good thing about us. It's never over. That's the thing that we bring to the table. It's never over. You know, we had a couple miscues here and there in that last drive and didn't go the way we wanted to. We played a great football team out there. We got a lot of great players, you know, and we battled. I think about the first half, it didn't go the way we wanted to, obviously. We got to play better there. But what we did in the second half, pretty special.
He went off. And man, I think everybody had that feeling when he got 28-23. Everybody felt like Russell Wilson right there. You thought the Seahawks were going to do it.
There was a moment. There was a moment till a few drops, a few other things happened, but it was a great football game. Two good quarterbacks, two classic Hall of Fame quarterbacks dueling back and forth, and the better team won. The more complete team won. That was Green Bay.
And yeah, reality of it is the Seahawks were terrible on third down, and critical downs, it cost them. Third down, they give up a big sack on that 3rd and 5 to force a 4th and 11, where they had to punt with under 3 minutes to go and give it right back to Green Bay. And to Green Bay's credit, they converted 2 massive third downs to seal that game, and that was the difference in it.
Fire the defensive coordinator.
Fire all
Ken
of
Norton.
Them.
Get them all right. They're all gone.
Boy,
that's the overreaction Monday I need.
Yeah, Seattle is one hell of a well-coached team when you look at what they were able to do with all the injuries, man.
Absolutely.
All of those injuries. All right, Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs, they're rolling their way into the semis with a win in the divisional round over the Houston Texans. Falling down 24-0, what do you tell your team?
I just said, listen, this isn't you. I mean, let's just get back, relax, pump the brakes here for about a second and focus, refocus, and let's go. I mean, it's that simple, really. I mean, you're in that situation. You've only got a few quarters to play this game, so you got to get it done, and no need to panic, right? That's not going to help it at all. So you just try to fix the problem, and that's kind of what we did.
Boy, did it. They relaxed after a big kickoff return from Hardman. They score two plays later, and then all of a sudden, a fake punt, ill-advised. Two plays later, they score, and then the Texans fumble the next kickoff, and they score. It went from 24-0 to 24-21 like that.
Here's my boogerism of the day.
Okay.
Okay, you can't win or lose the game in the first quarter.
That's true.
Does that make sense?
You can't win or lose the game in the first quarter.
So don't panic. Relax and take time to settle in. It's okay. 24 points. You can score fast. You can do all. You got Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
You got plenty of time. You got the two-headed monster of Eric Bieniemy and Big Red.
Houston Texans remain the only team in the NFL not to make it to a conference championship game yet. Every other team in the National Football League has made it to a conference championship game except for the Houston Texans.
You know, we've seen playoff coaches fired before. Remember Marty Schottenheimer getting canned after going 14-2 when San Diego was San Diego, now LA Rams. Do you see Bill O'Brien keeping his job?
Who's going to fire Bill O'Brien, though? He's the GM.
The owners?
He's the GM right now, too.
Yeah.
Well, remember.
Their owner passed away, so I wonder which family member is
going
to be running it mostly.
It's his son who's running the show.
I can see. You know, I. If you told me Bill O'Brien was out of a job, I would not be surprised.
Oh, God,
no. He did something yesterday that I thought was rather unforgivable, and that was being down three scores, kicking a field goal in the second half. He took it from a three-score game to three-score game.
Yeah. Yeah, that is brutal, my man. Brutal. Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, the number one overall seed in the postseason, best record in the NFL this year. They gone.
We just beat ourselves. You know, we had a lot of, I had a lot of mistakes on my behalf. Three turnovers that shouldn't happen. But, you know, they came out to play. You know, we just started off slow. We just got to do better next time. But moving forward, get ready for this offseason.
No, you didn't beat yourselves. You got bludgeoned by Derrick Henry in the rushing attack. Derrick Henry, 195 yards. First back to rush for 180-plus yards in multiple games in one postseason.
As much as we want to say Lamar Jackson changed the way football was coached and the way it was played, and he's an anomaly, he's great, he can make plays outside the pocket with his feet, you still have to be able to play a complete football game and throw the ball. He didn't get a lot of help from his guys. There were some drops. He didn't throw the ball great. It goes to show you there's regular season football, and then there's playoff football. That's two straight playoff losses, and that's an issue. And can they fix it? Yeah. Will they be a good football team? Yeah. But don't tell me how good you are. Show me. And they didn't. They didn't show it when they needed it the most.
No. And, you know, one thing that kind of flew under the radar is Earl Thomas. He talked a lot of trash about the Patriots' inability to tackle. I think Derrick Henry proved he's a very tough guy to tackle, regardless of what team is playing. Because did you see Derrick Henry stiff arm Earl Thomas into a 180 spin? He spun Earl Thomas around.
Yeah, I don't know why guys keep trying to tackle him up high. It would just dive at his legs. There's no point. His arms are just like pistons coming out there. They're huge, and ain't nobody can stop him.
All right, in the final game of this divisional round. A divisional round, by the way, which was the first time since the NFL expanded the playoffs to 12 teams back in 1990, in which 7 of the 8 teams were new to the divisional round, including both of the teams that played in the Niners-Vikings game. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have to win it with his arm, but he's okay with that.
I mean, it was awesome. Just, we had one drive where we literally didn't pass the ball. came off to the sideline, and I mean, it was as excited as we've ever been offensively. And it was just, when you can do that to a team, it makes it tough on defenses when they have to, you know, bring more guys into the box, start bringing safeties down. We ran the hell out of the ball, and those guys up front battled their ass off today. It was fun.
Jimmy G only has to go 11 of 19 for 131 yards. They punished him.
Two teams in my mind looked like they were happy to be there. One was the Houston Texans. They already covered that. But the Vikings just looked kind of happy to be there. They had no juice whatsoever. And I know you mentioned the stat, I think it was on Friday, about Kirk Cousins holding the ball longer than anybody in the NFL this year based upon their chunk offense. Well, they just lost their coordinator. Truthfully, Stefanski's going to be the coordinator and now the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. But it's just, you watch that entire, I'm like, come on, really? Come on, Vikings. Dalvin Cook, nothing. It was very much an anemic kind of game. But the 49ers just stomped them.
Couple statements coming in on Statement Monday about the Niners and Vikings game. Let's talk about that one, because that four-man pass rush of the San Francisco 49ers punished Kirk Cousins. 8:15 on the Fan. I drive
a million miles. Feels great, baby.
49ers put a beat down on those Minnesota Vikings. Bringing four... almost every single play.
You like that? You like that?
In sacking Kirk Cousins six times, boy, that's a luxury to have. I guess it pays to draft a bunch of defensive linemen in the top 10 year after year.
It's so frustrating. We would have had such a better game if Drew Brees would have been in that, and we'd have been in New Orleans. I mean, we get selfish as fans of watching the iconic guys and want to play against each other. We could say, oh, they snuck one out and Minnesota's going to be able to. Nope. You know, happy to be here. Thank you. Congratulations. Thanks for coming all the way out to Levi Stadium to lay that egg. It was just mediocre. Mediocre, but it goes to show you how good San Francisco is. It really does.
Yeah, and the scary part is
when they got healthier, too.
Yeah, this is the first time that they've been healthy since like week four when they had their bye week so long ago that they finally got a chance to get healthy, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and, you know, Dee Ford being back and what he can add when you have, you know, Eric Armstead, DeForest Buckner, and Nick Bosa and Dee Ford. My goodness, that is a murderer's row of a four-man front, and Salah does a great job with those guys, man. I mean, they're fun to watch defensively because they can get to the quarterback, and then on the back end, you know, you got guys like Richard Sherman who's still playing at a really high level. But offensively, they are so fun to watch because of the fact that, like, they come out in, like, your traditional 21 personnel, right? Two backs, one tight end, and they run so many different formations out of that personnel grouping. You keep the same guys on the field, but the ability for them to do so many different things, like with Juszczyk and Kittle, they're like little Swiss Army knives, man. Their offense is so fun to watch.
Yeah, their offense is good. I'm more impressed with the way their defense is played.
Really?
Yeah, I think that their defense has been... it's been intimidating. It's been solid. The investing from the inside out. You know, I heard Dave Gettleman, the Giants' offense, or sorry, his general manager, and he was talking. Some sports fans made a little fun of him because they said, "Oh, you build from the inside out, and you build on the foundation of really what it is about football. Is football holds up because teams that can run the football in the playoffs, and then you'll see." Oh, Patrick Mahomes is an anomaly. He's an anomaly. He really is. He's something different because Aaron Rodgers finally got a running game with Aaron Jones. That's why. And the 49ers have a better defense. I'm sorry, the Green Bay Packers. That's why they're playing so well. They're a complete football team. So now they're going to match up with another complete football team because John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan believe is that Kyle Shanahan said it last week. You can say you want to run the football, and that sounds good, but you also have to be able to throw the ball efficiently. You can't just be one-dimensional and say that's really what it's all about. It's how you play as a team. From across the board, from their investment, from the defensive line, the amount of money. I don't know how they're going to afford all those guys when they all come up on their rookie deals. Or will they be as good? That doesn't matter. Because as we saw with the Seahawks, early in their heyday, they found a way to invest in the Legion of Boom at a young age and the rest of the defensive line and great, great linebackers. And that got them a Super Bowl on the precipice of winning two with one run. This could be what we see with San Francisco. They're all in on these young players. Mm-hmm. And you got a quarterback who's on a monster deal. And you have the best tight end in the game. Travis Kelce's good. He's good. He's not close to George Kittle. George Kittle blocks like you've never seen before. I've never seen a better blocking tight end in this league. And I'm not kidding. In the history of this league, I've never seen a better blocking tight end. From the way he is fundamentally sets an edge as a zone blocker, the how he move blocks, he blocks like a true F, better than Juszczyk, who is the F. And then he can run his routes, if not better, than Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce is a really good tight end. George Kittle is elite. And that's as good. And this comes with just watching his film. There, and I'm not the only one that believes in this. This is hands down across the board. So they are playing as good as any team in the National Football League right now.
No, yeah, and that's why the what you just said about Kittle and Juszczyk, those two guys, they have so much versatility in what you can do. It's like you can afford to have those two guys on the field and run like doubles with one back in the backfield and line both those guys up into a slot. Or then you load those guys up and you have a tight end and a wing with Juszczyk, or you go traditional with the fullback and how many different things you can shift and motion into. Kyle Shanahan, first of all, offensively, he's got such a bright mind. But then the way that he gets the most out of those tools that he has in guys like Kittle, it's pretty impressive because, you know, we played that clip of Jimmy Garoppolo saying, you know, we came out and we ran the ball every single play on a drive. After the Richard Sherman interception, they ran the ball nine times in a row and used six different formations to do it.
Nine times.
I mean, and didn't take anybody off the field. Like, they can just pound you. And then Kittle will run up the seam and go for 40 or 50 yards.
Well, they do it with a good offensive line. They've win in the trenches. They win with the best defensive line left in the NFL in this current group of four. I mean, there's some really good players left, certainly, but as a group, you're not going to get a better group than you will face versus San Francisco 49ers. And their offensive linemen up front, Staley Thompson, Garland Pearson, and McGlinchey, those guys have as I watched the game, from the inside out, from the not just the pass rush and the one-on-one blocks, you're not going to win always with one-on-one. But the percentage of times that the defensive line wins in one-on-one, it's incredible. But in the offensive, I'm watching the 96 through 98 Denver Broncos. How well that offensive line ran zone. That was Mark Schlereth and if you know
Schlereth,
Mark Schlereth and that group with watching TD do what he did and John Elway and how good they were with being so just their commitment to the zone running scheme is frightening.
Right.
It's frighteningly good because everybody thinks that they can teach zone, but there's really only one way to, if you want to go to a zone clinic, watch this Shanahan Foundation.
As a fan, that's something that really stands out to me because it seems like where they're most talented isn't necessarily the running back position.
No,
but they're hell-bent on making that work. And with the guys they have, with the scheme they have, they're almost like plug and play. Like, we don't care who you give us as long as he's fast and can find the right hole and then just go.
And that's Mostert, right?
Right.
I mean, he's a guy that is a career special teamer who, how cool is that? Starting running back flies down the field and, you know, forces a fumble and picks up a fumble. Like, that was him, though, and that's kind of what they need there is if you got tempo and you can kind of wait for that block to develop, hit the hole,
If you looked at these final four teams, and you talk about identity and commitment, Buck, and you mentioned that about how they do it so well, of the final four, San Francisco has the best identity left. When I say is about collective as a group. Tennessee Titans, I know it's Derrick Henry, and I know it's everybody else. Mm-hmm. Kansas City Chiefs, it's Patrick Mahomes and everybody else. Green Bay Packers, it's Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, and it's that throwing in with some good pass rush. And it's San Francisco, it's everybody. It's the back end, it's Richard Sherman, it's the linebackers, it's that tackle. Who was the linebacker that tackled the Seattle game that made that tackle on Hollister? That saved their season. That's that tackle on the goal line in the regular season, the final game, the final play of the game.
That was an Greenlaw?
It might have been. The offensive line. Jimmy Garoppolo, Juszczyk, George Kittle. You mentioned all the wide receivers. Debo. My gosh. Every time you see that team, the identity of it is the ultimate team. They're my favorite to win it in the Super Bowl right now. Now, of course, there's going to be some. Not everybody says that. Should be. The Chiefs fan isn't going to say that.
No.
Titans fans not. And certainly Green Bay Packers, cheeseheads aren't going to say that. But if I'd look at an identity of a team, there's no better team as a group playing so efficiently. committed to it.
I have one question about the 49ers for you, Cam. And I feel like Kyle Shanahan gets a ton of credit for all the ghost motion and the exotic stuff they run pre-snap. I feel like we've also seen that with other coordinators like a McVay or whatever. How much of that is really important to throwing off the defense, and how much of it is just people believe they're going to run one of those options because they do from time to time?
And if you notice what the Patriots did to the Rams last year in that game, they brought 9 down in the box because they understood that if they stopped Todd Gurley, that the fear was is that if he can do that, you can make him one-dimensional. And they knew that Gurley was the foundation for their pass game. Because what everybody doesn't realize is Sean McVay has the exact same kind of mindset as Kyle Shanahan. They want to run hard zone with all that play action, and then everything goes chunky after that. That's exactly what San Francisco does. But the thing is that they give those jet sweeps, and they move that because they actually hand the ball off and give you that threat because multiple guys are versatile. If you don't have that threat out there, then defenses. And the other thing about it, too, is that's super important when you put those ghost motions in is that as Jimmy Garoppolo sits up and when he goes under center, because everybody wants to be in shotgun now. Shotgun is what we all want to be. We all want to be able to see the field in front of us, and that's do that. Being under center and having that threat of the run game with those ghost motions, Jimmy Garoppolo goes, sweet, guys, you just told me you're in zone. You told me you're in man. I know exactly what you're doing now. It makes it so easy for him to decipher where you got to go right away.
The ultimate team that you were talking about there, I saw this stat pop up. The San Francisco 49ers have had 25 touchdowns this season produced by undrafted players. That goes back.
Talent evaluation.
You were talking about how, you got Debo Samuel and George Kittle, but they've got a bunch of undrafted dudes like Kendrick Bourne out of Eastern Washington who went to Milwaukee. They got a bunch of undrafted guys who are doing it. It's exactly what you were saying.
It also beats up the theory that there has been people that have said this theory, and I'm just going to tell you, take this theory and shove it right up where you do know who, is that you can't win with a quarterback on a franchise contract. That is crap. Don't ever believe that crap because how well did Lamar Jackson do this weekend? Oh, I'm sorry. That was the number one team in the whole world going into this week. San Francisco has a quarterback on a monster contract. But they found ways to evaluate talent and motivate on the outside, finding guys like George Kittle in the fifth round, finding those players and doing that. That is the biggest pile of junk because Aaron Rodgers beat a team against who? Russell Wilson, who's on a monster deal, who was one play away from getting a chance. Don't buy into this crap about how you can't spend the money on a quarterback and then build around from the inside out. It's garbage. It is more about how you coach them and how you evaluate them.
If the NFC wins the Super Bowl, it will become the first quarterback to win a Super Bowl getting paid more than $20 million. Mm. Ever. No matter which one wins, because if it's Jimmy G or Aaron Rodgers.
But that stat, you know why that stat doesn't matter? Because $20 million is equivalent to what Joe Montana made and all those other guys made. We got to take equivalency of what $20 million means compared to over time. The highest paid guy on your team is always going to be your quarterback when you're a high efficiency offense, when you'd be able to do that.
Well, they're
over
up time, to 30 long million now.
Time. Yeah, I mean, so this is one of those things is that let's be relative over time and understand that $20 million is not just a magic number. It's just the fact that that's the way the cap has grown and the importance and the value of the quarterback is not the same as it used to be. In the last 20 years, the quarterback, ask college football how important the college football quarterback play is. It used to be running backs. I mean, we had Heisman Trophy winners. It was a DB in the 90s. Okay, that you're never going to see that ever. It's all quarterbacks from here on out.
$20 million is cheap now.
Yeah, Cam Newton's going to get cut, and he's worth $9. He's going to get paid $20 million. He's going to get cut.
All right, national championship game tonight, Clemson, LSU. Boy, we got two heavyweights going at it in Nollins. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. R.I.P. Neil Peart. Dead at the age of 67, man.
Way too young. Way too young.
There was a... when I was in college, it was the first time I really, became familiar with Rush. It was because I was in a film class, and this guy who, in all of his short films at the school, he was like a media arts major... He would put Rush into every single one of his movies.
Loves Rush.
And he'd find a new Rush song. Yeah, he was a huge Neil Peart fan. Called him the best drummer ever.
Ever.
Ooh. That was him. I don't know. I was like, all right. Neil Peart.
I think a lot of Rush fans do believe that Neil Peart was the greatest drummer ever.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know that
subjective,
many of
subjective, but he's there.
Yeah.
He's top five in the drummers that I know ever. I just don't know a bunch of drummers, you know, Tommy Lee,
yeah.
Ringo, Neil Peart. I don't know very many drummers.
They don't get a lot of love.
Who else percussion are the great drummers?
Percussion doesn't get a lot of love.
But isn't that the one instrument like every kid wants to play at some point is you want to be a drummer? Like guitar, obviously.
Yeah, I think it's guitar.
But no, at some point you want to be a drummer too. Like you want to just, because it's cool to bang on the drums, man.
Mm-hmm. Definitely right. Of the power ranking, it's number three.
Oh.
Power rank.
Wow.
Lead singer, lead guitar, drummer. And then you go bass, keyboard, triangle, cowbell.
Who's the guy that is the lead singer and the drummer?
Oh, that's my buddy Fred. Fred LeBlanc of the Cowboy Mouth.
Oh, yeah. There's another guy, too. You mentioned
there might
him
be
before.
Another one. I don't know very many. In fact, I don't
them,
know how to do that.
By the way, those the musics that you've played.
Yeah. They'll be performing. I think they're performing in New Orleans today.
I'm looking at the Rolling Stone list of the top 100 drummers of all time.
Yeah.
John Bonham, Led Zeppelin, number one.
That's pretty good.
Keith Moon, number two.
Don't know who that is.
Keith Moon.
I know. I'm going to get destroyed for that. I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
I'm not right. big on music.
Let's see. Ginger Baker, who I do not know. Neil Peart, number four.
Okay.
I mean, fourth all time is pretty good in like the history of music. It's pretty good. All right. College football national championship game. I find myself becoming more and more of a Joe Burrow fan as time goes on. I love his kind of demeanor. His play, obviously, is really fun to watch. But he's been doing some interviews that have been... you can see why guys gravitate to him and why people like him. This was for the LSU website. And they were doing a quick interview. And this female reporter, I don't know who she is, she walks up to Joe Burrow with a picture. And she asks him a question. And listen to Joe Burrow's response to this. I love this.
Does this look like a Heisman Trophy winner?
Right, it does. Show it to him.
Show everybody. What would you tell this kid right now?
He looks like a national champion.
I love what... I'm picking up what Joe Burrow's picking down. Does this look like a Heisman Trophy? It's a picture of him as a little kid. He just kind of looks nerdy like all of us do. We have those awkward pictures. And he goes, damn right it does.
He has a little bit of a cockiness in him.
He's got
a little swag. Sometimes that can come back and bite you a little bit. But, you know, if you're going to be you, be you. I'm not going to tell you to be somebody different. Be you, man. It's got him where he is, and he's successful, and they're as good as anybody. And then the hype train is LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful.
This game is going to be a fun one because I think I want LSU to win. I love Ed O. I love Joe Burrow. I like, you know, Randy Moss was one of my favorites growing up. His kid plays. Someone tells me Clemson is just going to do it tonight.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think everybody is just kind of like, I'm sick of Dabo going, oh, everybody's just sleeping on us. But there is an element of it. You know, their defense is damn good. They do have Trevor Lawrence. Their receivers are out of this world. They're talented.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. They were able to shut down Ohio State. And Trevor Lawrence outdueled an Ohio State defense, who I thought was as good as anybody's seen. And offensively, I don't really like what Ohio State runs on offense. It's okay. I mean, Justin Smith. That's a defensive lineman back in the day at San Francisco 49ers. And it's like Justin Fields. Justin Smith was an unbelievable defensive lineman I blocked all the time. He played for Cincinnati and San Francisco. Anyway, I digress. That offense is okay. It's okay when it comes to scheme-wise. But I'm sorry. What Joe Burrow's going to throw at you and what LSU's going to do, Clemson hasn't seen anything like it this year. Now, they've shut down some great teams in the past, and they can adjust because Brett Venables is as good as any defensive coordinator there is in college football. So if there's going to be a test for it, please throw it at them. But they knocked off Ohio State.
Yes.
Can they knock off two of the best teams in the country right away and play this we're the underdog card? How many more times is Dabo going to play the we're the underdog card?
Yeah, I'm kind of sick of that, but is he not? It's true. I mean, they literally are an underdog here. And
they could win three national titles in 4 years, and you're going to tell me they're underdogs? That's insanity.
Well, Vegas, that's why I say literally there. Vegas has them as 4-point dogs right now, you know, and it's a road game. This is literally a road game. They're playing LSU in Louisiana, in New
Backs
Orleans.
Against the
Did
wall.
You hear how that came into play, the whole road versus home thing this week? The weather has been so bad in New Orleans that the LSU Tigers were able to practice at a normal indoor facility, whereas
at the Saints,
the Clemson Tigers, they practiced in the hotel ballroom in full pads.
Well, they could have actually sent LSU back to Baton Rouge to practice and then let the Clemson Tigers have the Saints facility. But they could have even practiced inside the Superdome if they wanted, but they probably didn't allow
it. No, Dabo actually said last night, because I heard that too, there's like the big conspiracy, like even reporters are like, oh, talk about an advantage. They get to call up the Saints and go in there. Well, Dabo said, he goes, look, we had the same opportunity to go to the Saints practice facility too. We just opted not to.
Yeah.
He said it would have just screwed up our routine, our game day routine, having to change our practice time. So we didn't. And we just opted to do it in a massive ballroom. He goes, where it went great. I mean, our guys were locked in. Everything went well for us. So,
we've been waiting for 2.5 weeks, it feels like.
Yeah, what are you going to do that's going to change the game now?
What more can you go over? How many more walkthroughs can you have? How many more film sessions? How many more clap sessions are you going to do? The guys are just, man, let's play football finally.
Yeah. You and I, not big recruiting guys, though, right? We don't follow recruiting. We know it matters.
I'm following it a little more now than I ever have been.
Right.
But, yeah.
I saw this from 24/7 Sports. In this game, featuring LSU and Clemson, there will be 14 five-star athletes on the field and 77 four-star players make up both of these rosters. So like with the whole recruiting matters and you look at the elite recruiters and truly elite recruiters, if you're looking at this game right now, you're looking at 91 players from these two teams were four or five-star athletes coming out of high school. Like the recruiting matters, talent matters, especially when it comes to these last two teams standing, and they both have a ton of them. All right, picks for the national championship game tonight in New Orleans, LSU and Clemson. This is Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
It's a dadgum mistake.
All right, we got hot drummer talk.
Hey, I got a financial stat.
Don Henley. That was the guy I was thinking of.
I got a college football financial stat I wanted to throw at you guys. This comes from Business and College Sports because we want to see how much money is going to go into tonight.
Yes.
Since 2000, with the opening of 2014 to 2018, the payouts per conference have been quite staggering. Let me read them off for you. So we all know who believe that is probably the leader in the clubhouse.
SEC.
Yeah, the SEC has been paid thus far from 2014 to 2018. It's how lucrative college football is. Stay with me on this one.
Is this just from the playoff?
This is just the college football playoff.
Okay.
Okay, $375 million. So roughly round up $376 million. Okay, the ACC has made $337 million. Coming in at number three, is this going to surprise you? The Pac-12 at $335 million. The Big Ten Conference, it comes in at $334. And the Big 12 Conference, $332 million. After that, we go to the ACC or the AAC at $110. The Mountain West at $96. And then we go to the Mid-American at $85. This is where it gets crazy. As an independent, the Notre Dame, Fighting Irish have been paid individually by themselves $28 million. The next closest team is Brigham Young at $1.5 million.
Yeah.
Well, no team has benefited more than Notre Dame.
They made it to the college football playoff, though.
Yeah.
You know, like when you make it, you get your conferences cut, right?
Yeah. And Notre Dame has one appearance. The Pac-12 has two. The SEC has seven. ACC has six. Big Ten, four. And the Big 12, four.
Okay, well, okay.
Appearances. This is appearances.
This is total money paid out, though, right?
Yeah.
That's
what I said, yeah.
Okay, so total money paid out. If you're going per school, the Big 12 is coming out on top, right? Because they made, what, 332, you said?
Yeah.
With 10 schools.
The Big 12 has made 332 point, yeah, five, yeah. Three, it's a crap ton of money.
So,
but it's all dealt to the Power Five. I mean, we could just show you. It's just a massive amount of money given to the Power Five. And I know the Pac-12, as I look at it and go, oh, the Pac-12 is broke. Well, where's all this money going? We don't know.
You know who's really not making a lot of money off of this is the Big Ten. Because what do they have? How many teams do they have?
14.
14?
334.
They have 14.
$335 million.
So
Pac-12 has 12, and you're looking at, yeah, math-wise, Atlanta.
Divided by 14, the ACC, that's $23 million per school. That's $23 million per school. For the
this is just off the playoff. This isn't their television contracts and all the other things that they have within their conference money, which they make it up because of their Big Ten network.
Yeah. And then you have the Pac-12 is making, what, $28 million per school, as opposed to the Big Ten makes 23.
Yeah.
So the Pac-12 is actually coming out more than them. But the big winner is the Big 12, who's making, $30 million per school.
So heading into this Power 5 season now in the 2019, each Power 5 conference is guaranteed a whopping $66 million from the college football playoff. Guaranteed $66 million. For this college football, just for the playoff. And you don't even have to, I mean, if you participate, certainly it goes up and we can see it. Yet, we don't want to give college football players their image and likeness.
That's a lot of dough, my man.
We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. There's a lot of money involved in this. You can see why the college football playoff is worried about expansion. And I understand. And do they want to divvy it up?
More money?
Yeah. What would it give more money? God. A couple more games?
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me? If two games equals $66 million, you add another two to those playoffs, you're going to double.
Yeah. So here's this. This is a per school breakdown of it. Now they're not distributing all the money monies evenly. You said Notre Dame has made $28 million.
$28 million thus far.
So each Big 12 school has made $33.2 million. Each Pac-12 school has made just over $28 million. SEC, $27 million, ACC, $24 million, Big Ten, $23 million per school.
Yeah.
In this payout, and you said Notre Dame, $28 million.
$28 million.
Wow. All right, who do you got? What's the score? What you got? Man?
I like LSU in this game. We got two teams, both that are two teams with purple in there. I mean, who do I pick? I'm taking purple LSU. Tiger. Yeah, I'm taking the purple tiger because I like Joe Burrow in this one, but I'm not gonna put it past it. I got 38-35.
Oh, Hercules.
38-35 LSU.
38-35.
I was going to go just the other way and say Clemson 38-34.
Do we get this. I like this high scoring affair that you guys are
lining
up. That's
not high scoring in college.
Over
football
under
anymore.
Set at 68.5.
Yeah.
Ooh, wee. Give me, this is what I want. I'm going LSU. 42-38. Give me you know what? 40. I'm going to go 42-40. It's going to be, something weird's going to happen. LSU. All right. That'll do it for us. Up next, the Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon. Noon to 3. You got Dirt and Sprague. 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Suk. Have a great, and then recruiting show with Andrew Nemec. Is that this week on Monday? Buck is looking at me like he doesn't know. All right. Have a great Monday. We'll see you Tuesday right here on 1080 Fans. Something to keep an eye out on for Duck fans. 11 a.m. Mario Cristobal, Austin Foliu, Jordan Scott, D'Amador Lenore, and Thomas Graham Jr. all making an announcement. What it is, we don't know. Have a great Monday. See you Tuesday right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.